This is W4DJW pulling up the repeater's announcements. W4DJW, clear and listening.
W4DJW, KN4RJN.
Hey, John, did you get my second email?
And I didn't realize I could double-click that and put that over there, so that solves a lot of problems right there. I still think the acknowledge box in that window is superfluous, but that's okay. It doesn't matter, because I normally do that, 10, 15 minutes before the net and plug them in, and then acknowledge them as I call them off in the regular list there, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that makes it a whole lot simpler.
Well, I know I'm going to need it because I'm going to hit that button, and if they're all checked off, I'm not going to look at it again. If any of them are unchecked, I'm going to look at it.
Well, if you double click it and then it pops up in the call box and then add it to the log, F5 it, then you've got it right there, and that's the only list I look at once the net starts going. I mean, I'm checking the pre-net, up until, 30 seconds before it's time to go, but once I've got them all logged in, then I wouldn't look at that other list anyway, so, because I'm just looking at my main list, so, but that's just me.
Well, how does it work on your end fetching the pre-net check-ins? Is it quick? I haven't done it having to use DNS resolution yet. I've always gone straight to the IP address.
It pops it up pretty quick. I got a separate folder where I've got all my radio stuff, and it's got the pre-net check-in and the net control software and grid search and the repeater book and all that other stuff and net report and all that stuff. And that's where I would pull those screens up from, and I just get them all arranged and then bounce around. But this is one less screen I have to pull up because it's right there on the net control software. So that works pretty good.
Okay. Well, here's a warning. If you're ever calling a net and you lose internet connectivity, don't click that button to refresh because it'll hang for 60 seconds. And you'll just get a swirling circle for 60 seconds until it gives up and says, I can't get out of this network. So that's the only thing to worry about, is you can lock it up if you don't. You can lock it up if you click that button and you have lost internet.
Okay. I'll remember that. that would be bad. Well, I've got a pad and a pen next to my computer. If all else goes belly up, I just grab that and start writing. But I can see my router and my modem and my little T-Mobile mini tower all from here, and I can see all the lights. So I know if I lose it, I can see it pretty quick.
Okay. I could make that configurable so that you could turn that 60 seconds down to, like, if it doesn't get it in 4 seconds, it's not getting it, give up. Don't tie up my screen. But that'd be another dialogue I'd have to create to give you the ability to configure that. I might do that anyway, because I was worried about it by putting that in there. I was thinking about it the whole time. Somebody's going to lose internet, click this button, and it's going to lock. And they're not going to be happy.
Well, when the wheels come off the wagon, you start walking. What can I say? I did notice that, like, for instance, Fred and Islet, I've already checked in. And I double-clicked to see, like you said, and it popped up. So I add them to the list. Anyway, I shut it down and then come back. They're no longer on the pre-net check-in, but they are in my log. And then if I say refresh, they pop back up. But the little acknowledge button in the pre-check-in window is already marked, like I've already acknowledged them, and I haven't. It's just, I've got them on my main list with a button over there, so I'm not sure that button is necessarily, I mean, the way I look at it, it's superfluous, but that's just the way I look at it.
It's reading your log to make the determination that you're checked in or not. Your log is that half of the bottom half of the screen. That's your log. If they're in there and they show up in the pre-net list after you do a refresh, when you click the refresh button, it goes and pulls them in, And as it's pulling them in, it checks your log. And if they're in the log down there at the bottom half of the screen, then it puts a check mark by it saying, don't do this one again. You've already got it. I could make it so that it just doesn't even put it in there if you've already got it. But I kind of like to see who I've got and who I don't have. So, I don't know, 6-1, half dozen the other. There could be 1,000 different configurations.
Okay, I wasn't looking at it that way. But, yeah, okay, well, in that case, leave it in. Because, yeah, somebody else, usually there aren't that many pre-check-ins, and I can look and see who's in, who's not. But, yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. Yeah, go ahead and leave that in. Because it doesn't matter that I can't see the... see the name, because as soon as I put it in my log, then I've got all that. So yeah, so I know that they're already in the log. I haven't acknowledged them on air yet, but I know that they're in the log. So yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. It's a different way of looking at that button. It just means I put them in. Okay, that makes sense.
Well, how'd your day go today? I got out of work early. It's like 7:48, and I'm already off work. I'm kind of enjoying that, but got hot again today, didn't it?
Yeah, I did a dump run early this morning and put the top down on the Jeep and rolled down all the windows and took the dog with me. And by the time we came back, I needed to change the oil in the lawnmower, and I thought, because Karen's out of town for this evening, and I've got that bay open so I can work in there, and that's like, even in the garage in the shade, it's too hot. And I might do it early in the morning, because I need to mow the grass at some point, but I need to change the oil before I do that, so I don't want to get up at like 5 in the morning to change the oil, otherwise there's going to be more sweat than oil in the lawnmower.
Well, how does the dog like riding in the Jeep with no top? I'm kind of hung up here. When I put my dog in the car, she is not happy at all. She starts trembling. She's one of those little dogs. She's nervous. And it takes her a few miles before she starts to settle down. I was just curious, because you got that dog after it was already grown, right?
Her dog, she's like 8 years old. So and as long as she's with me, she doesn't care where she is.
Well, larger dogs are usually less fearful of riding in vehicles. At least that's been my experience. I used to have two German Shepherds that I just look at the back of the truck and nod or snap my fingers or go. And because I had looked at the back of the truck, they knew we were going for a ride, and they would jump into the bed and clear the tailgate, clear the side. It was a step side truck. Pickup truck, and they just clear it, jump right in the bed of the truck, and off we would go. Both of them, they love riding in the truck, but this one I got now, the little one, she doesn't like it at all.
Yeah, well, on my Jeep, which is a whole lot easier to pop the top than on my other Jeep, you just clips it and just fold it back, and about half of the back seat is in the sun and half of it's actually in the shade. She just lays down back here and she enjoys it. She likes going with me.
Well, that's good. Is she getting to go out for rides very much while we're in this lockdown?
Well, I take her with me when I go on dump runs. If I run up to the post office to get the mail, I'll take her with me sometimes, but I don't necessarily take her with me if I'm going to the grocery store, because I'm going to be in there for a little while, and I don't want to leave her in the car that long. But top down, the windows down, it's just, I don't trust people. But but yeah, I just closed my software down and brought it back up, and I had put Andy in the log, and it comes up check mark. So yeah, it's telling me that I've already put him in there is what it's telling me. So that's probably not a bad thing.
Okay, I just pulled it up and saw he was in there too. Yeah, I had Fred and Isla in there from this morning when I was looking at it. And I just pulled it up, and that shows, yep, they're in there. They're in the log down below, but Andy's not yet, so Andy needs some attention. That's kind of good. Oh, another thing, when I first brought it up this morning, Fred had not checked in yet. I pulled it up before he checked in, and it put some XML garbage in there, so I've got to work on it early in the morning or really late at night after it clears it out and make it so that it doesn't put that XML. So just a forewarning, the instance you got, we'll put that in there until I fix that and send you another copy.
I'm just now noticing that I had gone through on a few and put in grids just out of idle curiosity, see how far away they were. And I had Fred and Isla's grids in there, and they're not there now, and I don't know what happened. Because I had them in there before. Let me see if I've got you. Stand by. Yeah, your grid's still in my database. So I don't know if pulling them off of that somehow screwed up my database or what. I might have to go back and put the grids back in again. But, by the way, we're 33 miles from each other. Just in case you're wondering. I'm sorry. I'm 33 miles from Andy. I was going to say, you're not that far. Okay, so Andy's grid is still in there. I don't know what happened to Fred and Isla. I'm going to have to go back and put that back in again.
You have to save it after you add it. And a shortcut so that you don't have to type it is if you just right-click on Isla in the log and watch her grid, you'll see it fill in. And if you right-click Fred and you watch the grid, when you right-click them, it goes out to QRZ and gets all their information and it fills in their grid. But if you don't, if you go ahead and click from one to the other without saving it, that's the F6 key or Control S, then it assumes you did not want to save that information and it doesn't save it. So you have to put it in again. But right-clicking their name will go out to QRZ and fill in any gaps.
Well, that's good to know. That makes it a little bit easier. I was looking them all up, put them in a little bit at a time. But, yeah, I didn't realize I could do that.
Yeah, but you got to save it after you do. I do that all the time, too. Then I got to the point to where anytime I made changes, like if you put a comment like they're in the comment section, they're mobile, and you want to remember it because you got a bunch of them that checked in, you want to remember which one was mobile and which one was not. Or if, like, Fred, not Fred Maxwell, the other Fred, K4RM Fred, sometimes he's in Piedmont and sometimes he's on Nancy Mountain. So you just put in the comment. But if you don't hit Control S after you put in Nancy Mountain, then it's not going to stay there. It's going to go away when you exit and come back in.
Little save current button is up there for right.
Or the F6 key does the same thing. If you hit F6, it saves any changes. Like sometimes as well, people's name that comes out of the FCC database or the it comes out of the FCC, isn't the name that they go by. So I go over to the name and then put in parentheses the name that they go by and then hit F6. And then the next time, if you use a local lookup instead of an FCC lookup, it'll remember the name that they go by. After a while, you're going to remember that anyway, but it kind of helps you to remember it sooner.
That out some time ago. Who is it? Rick and Lorena and Michelle, and Rick's name is something else, and I put that in there and realized I could save current, and as long as I don't hit F7, I got used to not hitting F7, I'll put the call sign in and then hit F1 if it's in my database, and then I can get used to doing that, and then that saves it, but Rick, I forget what his real name is, but he goes by Rick. But yeah, I figured that saved, I found that save current button handy and more than once, so yeah, that's a good thing.
And there's more people that don't go by the name that they have in the FCC database than there are that do. Right? There's a lot of people who use shortcut names that aren't even close to their real name.
Yeah, and the FCC and even the QRZ database don't necessarily keep up. I had one the other night. He wasn't in my database, so I just put his call sign, his name, so I'll look him up later. I went to QRC, QR, QRZ, and it was a completely different name. And then I look, and it's an expired call sign, and they've reissued it to this guy. Yeah, because his call sign expired back in 2015 or something like that, 5 years ago. So it hadn't even caught up. I checked it again this morning. It still wasn't there.
Yeah, that might be a bug in QRZ, because I've noticed that myself. Somebody gives a call, and it's, you know, they're local to this area, and they might be, that call might have come from somewhere out west or down in Florida somewhere, a long way away. So you just don't, you know that's not who that person is, right? But that might be a bug, because it's already there and it's showing expired. They may not be able to pick up when it gets reissued to a different name. I don't know. That's why I pulled the whole FCC database when I pull it, because getting incremental updates and then being able to figure out the logic that they used for when they overwrite one and when they don't, and that's really difficult.
Another one the other night that, again, wasn't in my database, so I looked it up later. And I went to the FCC, and I went to QRZ. They had another one to the FCC, and said, you know, that call sign doesn't exist. I thought, okay, you guys are running a little behind here. That's the guy's a pirate, but so neither FCC or QRZ are necessarily all up to date. And yeah, when I download the FCC bit database, I do the whole thing. But yeah, there's glitches in the system, but for the most part, it works.
Yeah, that's handy. I had one that I entered, just the call sign and the name. That's all I had, because I didn't pick up on the location. And then the next time I called the net was a week later. It still hadn't had it in there. And then the third time I called the net since then, I right-clicked on him down in the log, and it filled in all of his information. It took 3 weeks for them to catch up. But it had all of his information on the third try.
Well, I imagine the FCC, like every other federal agency, is running on skeleton crew, so, and severely backlogged. And now that places are starting to open back up and they're doing testing, they're probably getting slammed.
That's true. And I did notice that they fixed their little bug. I didn't have to do anything. You'd hit the download for the FCC database, and it would just stall and not do anything. You'd kill it, and you hit download again on the second try. It'd pull it right down. Now I'm noticing every time I hit the download, it pulls it the first time. So whatever that bug was, they got it fixed.
And updated the database lately. I'm a little If I update the FCC bit database, that doesn't screw up my local database, does it?
No, they're two separate. They're totally separate databases. Data comes out of the FCC database and it goes into your database, not the other way around. It's a one-way path from FCC to your local and not back.
As long as I've saved Rick as Rick, when I refresh the database off the FCC, it's not going to change that.
W4DJW, not unless you hit F7. That's the only way, is if you put his call sign in and you hit F7 and then you save it, then the old one is still there. But when it does a lookup for the next time you type it in, it's going to pull the most recent one, which was the one that you overwrote with the FCC data. And it's going to mask the one before that has Rick's name in there. So to get it back, you could go back and delete the one that you pulled out of the FCC and you reuse the one that you have in local, and then that would put it back. But none of that will happen if you just keep using local all the time, which is what I do.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've gotten used to doing it. When they're coming in over the air, I'll put them in. I'm typing in. If they've already been in my database, they'll show up, and I'll just hit F1, and I've got them. I don't go looking for, you know, I don't look down to see if they're there. I just type it all in and then look up, and if I know, and usually, you know, when I hear a call sign, I know whether or not I've had it before, for the most part, and whether I haven't. So, and a lot of times, before they give me their call sign, I'll recognize the voice, and I know they're in my database somewhere. So, either way, but you know, the pre-net check-in window is going to be handy, and the thing with the clock, that's a minor issue, because I just use that to time when to start, and then as soon as that starts, while I'm going through the preamble, I can scoot that back so I can keep an eye on the Echolink dialog box and see if anybody pops up over there.
Yeah. you got your comfortable ways of doing that. I don't have a really good method of seeing who's on Echolink. I need to improve on that. That's what I'm going to try to do with the next modification, is make it so that you can tell, like an LED that lights up on there that says you got somebody new that logged in, or a different color LED that says that they left or something. I don't know, but I've got to look up the API. I'm pretty sure they have an API that will let me do that. And I think I've used it once. I think it's embedded in the SVX link software, the software that that Echolink is running off of and that the repeater will be running off of. I think that same software has the APIs that I can use to go find out who's on Echolink. But I remember reading the forums where they were talking about that, saying there was no API to get their text messages. So that's, or it has to be out there, because you can see them on Echolink when you log in. You can see their text messages, but that's not a publicly available API. You'd have to decompile their code to figure out how they're doing that.
What I do is I'll pull up Echolink, and then I'll pull up the net control software and lay that on top of the Echolink screen, and then just scooch it over so I can see the dialog box once I'm connected. And I have to scooch the date column here on the far left. I scooch that all the way over the way, out of the way, and then scooch the right side over it far enough over that I can see just the dialog box of Echolink. And then when somebody pops in, I can see them. Sometimes when I've got it set up and I'm ready, waiting for the net, 10, 15 minutes, and somebody pops up, I'll even send them a text message and chat with them for a little bit before the net starts.
Yeah, you're probably not going to want to lose that functionality, but at least an LED that lights up on the screen that tells you there's somebody there gets your attention and says, hey, go look at that. Because I know I watch it sometimes when other people are calling the net, and I see some people come in, and they sit there for quite a while before somebody calls on them. And I know I do the same thing, right? You get all wrapped up in what you're doing, and you don't go over there and look at that window. So, yeah, that would be a way to at least alert you that it's time to look at it. I could put a 10-minute timer on there, too, just to make it so that you look at it every 10 minutes at least.
Put a little flashing light right above the name box where an individual's information box. I put it right above that because that's usually what I'm looking at when I'm plugging people in, and that will get, and it's right in the center of where I'm looking for the most part anyway. Problem with my Echolink thing is it's off to one side, and every once in a while I forget to look over that way. So yeah, just a little, a little flashing check Echolink thing will cause you to look over that way and at least check the list to see if there's anybody new.
No, there's no net going right now. We're just rag chewing. There's not a net. I think I heard somebody say check in. Anyway, John, I'm going to bug out and catch you back in the net in about 53 minutes. It was good talking to you. Appreciate you being the alpha tester.
Yeah, not a problem. I don't mind at all. And we get all the bugs worked out on this, we might be able to get some more people to actually use it.
That's true, once it's convenient. Anyway, good talking to you. Catch you in a little bit. W4DJ, WClear.
Have a good one. KN4RGN, I am clear.
Call sign.
you're breaking up pretty bad. Try it again slowly, phonetically.
How's that?
Again, sir, you're breaking up.
You're actually in the right spot, so I'm trying to find it.
Fuck around, give me a long count.
I'd like to try it. Let's see if I can get it. Over here, let's try the other side. One, two.
One and two came in good, and then you dropped off. So wherever you were there, it was about as clear as I've heard it.
For that.
Right there. Go ahead with your call sign.
India 4, Mike 2, November. My name is Al Alpha Lima Lima. Negative name. I'll just check in real quick. I'll throw this battery back on a charge. Change a little bit weak.
India 4, Mike, and then it dropped out, and then ended in November. Give me what's between Mike and November.
Oh, yeah, one more time. Lima, November.
Below India 4, Mike, Lima, November. Was there another call sign you wanted to check in, sir?
Now, location involved, and I think I got you in a good spot now. You probably can hear me now. I'm going to throw this barrier charge in case it's a little bit weak.
Well, it's scratchy, but you're readable. I'll check in. Just listen. Stand by. KI4MLN. What was your location again, sir?
I'm checking from this line location.
And the name was Alan, you said?
Yes.
4MLN. You said your name was Alan, sir? KI4MLN, KN4RJN, did you catch that? Didn't catch that. Say again, sir.
That's why I had you, one of you guys do it.
Yeah, you'll show up on the list when whoever's calling. I think it's Mark WTMJB. I believe he's calling it tonight. He'll show up on the list and he'll acknowledge you then.
I'm charged, but I think I'm gonna lose it.
Still down in the noise. Say that again, sir.
I'm charged, but I think I'm gonna lose this battery. What the problem is?
The question: who's in charge? And then it scratched out. Say one more time.
We're just gonna make it. I'm gonna throw this back on charge. I think the battery's going away. That's what the problem is.
You understood. That could be it. I got 30 minutes before the net, so you can probably get a little charge on it. You got a base station you work at?
I've had issues outside, so I had to use a handy talkie.
Good, sir. Understood. Well, I'm back on out of here. Good luck with finding your spot on the handheld. But I've got you on the list, and you'll get checked in. So you have a good evening. KI4MLN, this is KN4RJN, and I am clear.